It's lunchtime at Tim Hortons, and we're serving up a special deal just for you. Our new $5.99 lunch deal includes your choice of any lunch sandwich and a side of crunchy kettle chips. Because what's lunch without a little crunch? And the sandwich choice is all yours. Like a ham and Swiss, Chipotle chicken wrap, BLT, and more. Made to order just the way you like it. Tim Hortons' new lunch deal. Simple, delicious, and just $5.99. Now that's a good deal. Only at your neighborhood Tim's. U.S. only. Price and participation vary. Terms apply.
Now a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. Tiffany here from Swish, and I want to talk about being a problem solver. In my classroom, I'm always telling my ICFirsties to be problem solvers. In first grade, that's one thing, but in adult life, it's a whole other. It can be really difficult to train your brain to go into a problem-solving mode. Maybe you don't even know where to start. It's a challenge that we all face in life. But when you learn to better help your brain find solutions, it's truly a great feeling. And if you've ever been thinking of giving therapy a try, BetterHelp is a great option. BetterHelp is convenient, it's accessible, it's affordable, and it's all online. And on top of that, they match you with a therapist just by filling out a brief survey. So when you want to be a better problem solver, therapy can get you there. Visit betterhelp.com/swish today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/swish.
Welcome to Swish and Flick, an All Potter podcast.
Swish and Flick, everyone. Swish and Flick.
Hello and welcome to episode 209 of Swish and Flick. I'm Tiffany.
I'm Megan.
And I'm Katie.
And I'm Sarah.
And this episode is sponsored by Molly Brewer. Thank you, Molly.
Thanks,
Molly.
Today, we will be having a discussion all about ministers for magic or of magic, whichever you prefer. And we are joined today by some amazing hosts from Accio Politics. Please welcome Helene and Adri.
Hello.
Yay. So excited to be here.
Oh my gosh. We're so happy that you're here. And it's been, I don't know, when did this start? A couple of months ago? That we tried to get this together?
At least. I mean, one of us DM'd the other and was like, let's get this going. And, you know, we're finally here. Long time. Yeah.
Coordinating six schedules. Something else. This was work.
It is not easy. But we're doing the work for you, Swishers, for you. But we have some weekly profit news to get to. So, Megan, take her away.
I think I've talked about this yet, but... I found an article about, so this is the 20th anniversary, this year is the 20th anniversary of the film Sorcerer's Stone, and they are re-releasing the film on digital and Blu-ray, and then like 4K, Ultra HD, and they're claiming there's going to be a slew of new features and deleted scenes. I am curious how we have not already seen all of this at this point, but if it really is new, I'm excited.
So when they say digital, does that mean they're going to have it be streaming on Peacock, or do you have to like buy it separately?
I would assume that that means that you can like buy it on iTunes. Is it iTunes technically? I don't know. Whatever, like, you know, on like Apple TV, if you're buying a movie or whatever like that, or like on Amazon Prime, how you can like buy a digital copy of the movie.
Yeah.
I'm so assuming they mean like that.
Okay. Also, what is 4K Ultra HD?
I've never heard
like
of that. Newest, like,
that's like the newest thing.
That's a lot.
It is a lot.
You have to have like a special TV.
Yeah, you have to have a 4K Ultra HD TV and a 4K Ultra HD Blu-ray player.
Is that a thing?
Yeah,
it is. Elemental PV.
Because they make has both.
My boss bought an 8K TV, and I was like, why?
Yeah.
So that's the newest thing?
Oh my God.
I was like, why? That's a lot of K's.
That's like, you know, it was also case. Like, it was also worth like 6K, which another K, too many K.
Wow.
Yeah.
Man.
No one needs that many Ks.
No.
Yeah. And I'm like, dude, like, there's literally nothing right now that requires this. You just blew money on something that is not going to be that much. That expensive in like a year or two or whatever when technology catches up.
Also, to be fair, like, I I mean, video games are different, but like, I'm not buying hard copies of movies anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I have a friend that does. Movie for me.
So like, people like, who are buying the players, it's few and far between, I would think.
Yeah. I don't know. It's coming digitally.
Do you, Megan, buy DVDs? Is that what you're going to say?
Depends on the movie.
Like, so like some of care about.
Yeah. So like some of the like most recent Disney ones that came out, like I bought a hard copy of Raya. I pre-ordered a hard copy of Luca. Like those, it's like very select.
Yeah.
I don't just like buy them all and have them all. It's like, no, I have to have like actually really enjoyed this movie, and I want to make sure that I never lose it off of a streaming service, and I always have access to a copy of it if I want. And also like I
want
like my own digital version of it, like on my Apple TV, in case again it like leaves streaming for whatever reason, then I like always have it.
But like if you bought something like on Amazon, you're gonna have that digital copy. Mm-hmm. Like if you bought it,
because it's your account.
Yeah.
Right.
I have a friend though that he's paranoid that it'll go away, so he has hard copies of a lot of things.
Megan is going to be the equivalent of the person now who has like every VH type S. Like,
I still VHS have all the VHS tapes. I still have all my Disney ones.
Love those puppy covers.
It just adds like an extra step of having to take it out of the box, put it in the player, you know.
I genuinely can't even remember the last time I put a DVD into a player to watch it, but I just want to have some just in case.
It's like a collector thing.
Yeah, I mean, I don't watch
what
DVDs
if the internet
anymore.
Goes out?
Right? Exactly. Man.
It's downloaded on your phone, you can still watch it.
Oh my lord.
You don't watch the memory that takes up?
I mean, I'm with Sarah.
But think, like, if you think about when you download stuff to watch it on an airplane, it's the same concept. You don't have you're not on Wi-Fi, so I've done that.
This turned into electronics podcast.
I know, but like I'm not gonna have all 8 Potter films downloaded on my phone at all times. That would take up so much memory.
like 100 gigabytes of space,
right? And I'm like, okay, my phone has like what, 256? Like I'm already like almost halfway there. No. But back to the article, it says that according to wizardingworld.com, this is going to include a new feature called Magical Movie Mode, which promises director's commentary from Chris Columbus, deleted scenes, quizzes, filmmaking secrets, magical artifacts, trivia, and much more fun and interactivity. This does sound a lot like the Ultimate Editions that they released like back in 2009-ish.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah.
Oh, gotta make that money again. So like people have short memory spans now. It's fine.
Yeah.
How different can they make it? You know, they want to keep re-releasing and making more money off of it, and they have to find some way to make it new and different.
But like I
guarantee David Yates cut a lot.
I guarantee that they've withheld things on purpose for anniversaries.
Oh, probably.
Got that stuff on lock, though it hasn't been released yet. Like how does it not get leaked? It's the question.
They're like, 20 years from now, we'll want to release this and make a ton of money, you guys. So here are all the NDAs you need to sign before this production.
Talk about delayed gratification.
We've never seen those scenes of Peeves. Katie, I'm sorry, your hand's been up for like forever. Go.
Yeah, true.
No, it's okay. Did those exist?
Yeah, they say that they filmed
some stuff. They filmed them all. Yeah, well, I thought
but then they
filmed
like
everything.
Never... I don't know.
And then they cut it all because it would look terrible.
And like we know for a fact that like Chris Rankin said that there were some scenes that he's done that we've never seen. So like they exist.
Exactly. Yeah.
So maybe.
I was going to ask.
I wonder how much that costs.
Katie,
Do you think that game from the first time around where you had to tap the bricks in the specific order?
Oh my God. I loved that. I loved that.
That would be a good throwback.
I would enjoy that. So it's coming out August 17th, so actually I think that it'll be out by the time you are hearing this in your ears, but they said that it will only be $14.99.
oh really?
That's it?
Pre-order. Yeah, available for pre-order from Amazon, Best Buy, Target, and other retailers for $14.99.
What are they up to?
that seems too cheap.
I mean, I know that the Ultimate Editions were like 50
for
so,
one.
Yeah.
For one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Holy.
I remember. I really wanted. They released them like staggered. And I remember 1 and 2 came out, and that was like all I wanted for Christmas was those two things because they were pretty expensive.
Right.
So yeah, I mean those were like 50. So $14.99, pretty good.
Not bad. Yeah.
Sweet. I don't trust it.
I know. But it does say like stay tuned for more celebration things. I don't know. Pertaining to the 20th anniversary. So
what you don't know is that they called me and they said that we need the best, funniest person on Swish and Flick to come and celebrate. And I said, you know what? I'll be there.
Oh my God.
And then they were like, oh, sorry, we meant Megan.
I think if we're being honest, if they didn't mean me, it would probably be Katie.
Yeah. They'd be like, you got jokes at the end of the episodes.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So make sure to follow us on your preferred podcast listening platform and share this episode with your friends, because if you like us, they probably will too. Subscribe to our channel on YouTube at Swish and Flick Podcast and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Swish Flickcast. If you'd like to support us on Patreon, head on over to patreon.com/swishflickcast. By supporting our podcast, it keeps us going and it gives you access to our exclusive Felix Files episodes, our Discord channel, live recordings, trivia games, Swish Swag boxes, and more. Thank you all so much for your support. If you'd like to send your Potter story to us or have any questions or concerns, you can send all of those things to our email, which is swishflickcast@gmail.com.
Good mail. Well done. Well done. So my throat hurts a little bit. I'm not going to go crazy.
Okay.
Okay. Maybe I'll sing to you today.
I'd love that.
It's time for the recap.
It's beautiful for a sore throat, Tiff.
Yeah. We're hilarious.
All right. Last time we finished up the chapter about Horace Slughorn, where Dumbledore took a little bathroom break so that Harry could do what Harry does.
No,
and
what is it?
The Wiz Palace.
Oh, yeah, the Wiz Palace. That's right. So Harry could do Harry and not even realize he was doing Dumbledore's work and convince Slughorn to come back and work at Hogwarts. And we ended with Dumbledore dropping Harry off at the Burrow.
Many spiders.
Ugh.
No wonder Ron hates him.
I can't get over the fact that there was a spider just like crawling on Dumbledore's head.
That's not okay.
Nothing happened.
It's not his first time.
I would just be staring at it, being like, excuse me, Professor Dumbledore, can I like...
Can you repeat everything you said? Because I don't hear any of it.
Sarah,
I need a summary.
Well, let's talk. It's a long summary, so I apologize in advance. But in the history of the wizarding world, there are ministers in charge, and we're going to talk about them.
It's beautiful. It's all encompassing. Okay, so we are going to get started with our guest Potter profiles. So your Potter profile is your Hogwarts house, your Ilvermorny house, your wand, your Patronus, and briefly explaining how you got into the wizarding world of Harry Potter. So Adri, we'll start with you.
All right. Hogwarts house, a Gryffindor. Wampus. The wand is larch wood dragon heartstring core, 10 1/4 inches long, and rigid flexibility, whatever rigid flexibility means. My Patronus is a black and white cat.
Ooh, jealous.
Oh, I love that.
That's cool.
That is really cool.
All right, so how I got into Harry Potter. All right, so I've been really obviously into the Golden Girls in quarantine, so I'm going to do this right. Picture it. Orlando, Florida, 1999. It was Christmas, and I was a very hard 13-year-old to please in terms of presents. Still am, let's be real. But let's just say my family and I have divergent ideas on what fashionable means. So, you know, my brother and I are the youngest by double digits in relationship to my entire family of cousins. I am Puerto Rican, so of course I have many, many cousins. So my cousin and godmother Camille was panicking because she was like, what am I going to get this girl for Christmas? And she had heard about these books that were all the rage. And since I'd been kind of like devouring books since I was like 10 or whatever, she was like, fine, I'll just get her these two and like, I'm done with Christmas. It was Sorcerer's Stone in Chamber, and I ended up buying Prisoner during that family vacation.
That's awesome.
Do you still live in Orlando?
No. So we used to vacation there a lot because my aunt and cousin and other cousins lived there. So it was, you know, full house. My brother lives in Orlando, though. So
nice. Very cool.
It's nice.
All right, Helene. Let's hear it.
Yes, I am a Hufflepuff, although some of my friends might disagree and tell you I'm a Slytherin, but don't believe them because I'm definitely not that there's anything wrong with being Slytherin. Megan, I know that you're a very proud Slytherin, Megan, but I know that I'm a puff in my heart. My Ilvermorny house is Pukwudgie. My wand is maple with unicorn hair. I can't exactly remember the length or the rigidity, but I think it's like 10 and a half inches. And then my Patronus is a dolphin.
Yeah, you could be part of my dolphin pod.
Yeah. I don't like the ocean, so it's a bit weird.
I almost said something super dumb and was like, they're not just in the ocean.
But wait.
Well,
what if dolphins don't like the ocean?
Oh, wow.
This is what happens when I'm real tired.
Really tired.
We don't need air to breathe. What?
I just came back from watching Jungle Cruise, the new movie with Emily Blunt, and there were dolphins in the Amazon. I don't know if that's a real thing, but in that movie there were. Who knows?
I have no idea.
I wonder if
the movie good.
It was good.
I'm googling this.
I heard people really like that movie.
Yeah.
So far.
I like the people that are in it.
Yeah, same.
It can be found in several major rivers on two continents.
So they're in rivers.
There are freshwater dolphins.
Oh.
I could be that.
I'm a freshwater sasa.
Well, how I got into Harry Potter, I don't know. I sent my Potter story to you guys. I've been listening to you since probably you started, so it's possible that you've read my Potter story on this podcast in the past. But my father, both my parents wanted to encourage me to read more when I was younger. And in order to do so, my father offered me 2 cents per page of any book that I finished. So like if it was like a 100-page book, I'd get like $2. And being the savvy little 8-year-old that I was like, I'm going to start like this cash cow of a series and get a ton of money out of it. At that time, I think the first 3 or 4 were out. And after the first one, I was hooked. So at that point I was like, I don't need the money anymore, but it's a nice perk.
That's awesome.
Right.
That's hilarious and I freaking love it.
It worked. If you ever want to encourage your kids to read more, like, I mean, it's not that expensive either. Like a 400-page book it's less than $10. So.
My mom once said that she said pay me to be quiet and I was like, it would still work. I'm like, pay me $20, I'd shut up for a long time.
Oh my goodness. Okay. So, like I said, we are going to get into the history, and we are actually going to go through all the ministers of magic that we know of. And so I pulled a lot of the information from wizardingworld.com, an article by the author called Ministers for Magic.
So there it says four.
Sometimes in the movies, it says of, four, who knows? I don't care.
Ministers that are magical.
Magic ministers.
I guess.
All right. So the history, according to this article, the Ministry of Magic was formally established in 1707 with the appointment of the very first man to hold the title Minister for Magic, Ulic Gamp. The Minister for Magic is democratically elected, although there have been times of crisis in which the post has simply been offered to an individual without public vote, Albus Dumbledore being made such an offer and turned it down repeatedly. There is no fixed limit to a minister's term of office, but he or she is obliged to hold... I know. I was scrolling... Obliged to hold regular elections at a maximum interval of 7 years. Ministers for Magic tend to last much longer than Muggle ministers. Generally speaking, and despite many a moan and grumble, their community is behind them in a way that is rarely seen in the Muggle world. This is perhaps due to a feeling on the part of wizards that unless they are seen to manage themselves competently, the Muggles might try and interfere.
I don't think it's a smart idea. Yeah, I don't think it's a smart idea to not have a fixed limit.
Yeah.
They obviously didn't have a George Washington who like voluntarily stepped down and kind of created the precedent. It would have been nice if they had something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's also like, it's interesting that we never, like we never saw, I mean, I guess there was never an opportunity for us to see an election, but like that would have been cool to see and to like see how it differs, because I'm assuming Scrimgeour was put in place in a time of emergency, probably without a public vote because Fudge stepped down, or was fired, whatever.
Sacked.
I think part of that, him too, of being appointed is because wasn't he a part of like the Auror?
He was
right?
The head.
Yeah. So like, it makes sense that like you're about to fight Voldemort again. You might want someone that's skilled in defeating dark wizards and not like, you know, Fudge, who's skilled in nothing.
It just would have been cool to see more of like the politics behind. Yeah.
Hermione something. Was probably elected, I would think. It wasn't a time of crisis. But like Thickness was put in by the Death Eaters, and then Kingsley was appointed because there was a time of crisis.
But see, like that could have been a time when we could have seen an election. Like Kingsley being elected could have been
voted. I think he was voted in later, wasn't he? Like put in, and then they go like, went confirmed. Ahead and yeah. I think I'm right, but I don't know how to prove it.
I think I'm right.
I'm that right.
Was the
you're
most
wrong.
Gryffindor thing ever. I think I'm right, but I don't know how to prove it.
Most likely to be correct.
I feel this, Tiff. I really feel this in my heart.
Yeah, see?
And you are correct. And I also am correct every time I open my mouth, but I just can't prove it.
Thank you. Thank you. I feel that. So the Muggle Prime Minister has no part in appointing the Minister for Magic, whose election is a matter only for the magical community themselves. All matters relating to the magical community in Britain are managed solely by the Minister for Magic, and he, or she, has sole jurisdiction over the ministry. Emergency visits to the Muggle Prime Minister by the Minister for Magic are announced by Portrick Ulitgamp, which is the first Minister for Magic, and hangs in the Muggle Prime Minister's study in number 10 Downing Street. Helene.
Yeah, I'm wondering then, like, they made it a point to say that the Muggle Minister for Magic has no say in who the magical Prime Minister is. Do wizards and witches get to vote in the Muggle Prime Minister elections?
Oh, interesting.
That would be like, bizarre.
But, like,
and,
here's
and
the thing,
unfair.
Though. But if they're also living in the Muggle world, they should be allowed to have a say in who's running the country. You know what I mean? But like, that's the question that I don't think is really ever answered in general is like, are they counted in the population? Like, I don't know their whole education system. Like, are they going to school until they're 11 and they're suddenly pulled out? Like, are there records of like, no, they're still in school. Should they be still in school? Are there records of like, are they being homeschooled? Stuff like that. You know what I mean? So I don't know how they're counted in the population.
Yeah, I mean, Adrian and I had a really interesting discussion about this recently for one of our patron only segments, where we kind of discussed the amount of involvement the magical world and law enforcement should have in the Muggle world, like how they could help if they were to intervene into the Muggle world. And so I'm curious if they have a certain involvement, especially in the political system in the Muggle world themselves, because they are, like Sarah said, living as citizens in England or Scotland or wherever they are. And so, like, it's very, seems like a very one-sided street, honestly.
Mm-hmm. I would agree. Adri?
Well, we also know that Muggles are, We also know that wizards are counted as people within, like, the Muggle world because their murders, when Voldemort is back, make it into the papers.
Yeah.
Like they don't know like, oh, this person was head of the Aurors or whatever.
Yeah.
Right.
They think like it's someone, you know, living home alone or whatever.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty sure they are counted as muggle citizens and wizards. Who knows?
I feel like they probably are.
It seems like it.
And I mean, like, I do, like, I guess I can see both sides of it where, like, well, they are kind of, like, double dipping in terms of having a voice politically. But I think because of the things that, like, each prime minister handles and, like, how different they are realistically, like, it does make sense that they would have a voice in both. Just because, you know, if you're literally living in, like, the middle of Muggle London, you're still going to be responsible for paying taxes mm-hmm. or, you know, whatever. So I would assume, or, like, you know, I would guess some witches and wizards utilize the school systems in England, Scotland, Ireland before they go to Hogwarts. Not all of them do, but I would assume some. So, again, like, you're paying for that. So, like, I think you should have a say.
I agree with you about schooling, because if you think about it, when you go to Hogwarts, like, they're not teaching you how to read, they're not teaching you how to write, they're not teaching you any kind of math. Like, you need those basic things. So you're either homeschooling, or are you going to Muggle school, or are there, like, early ed schools for wizards that we don't know about? Like, what's going on? Who's teaching the children to read?
Piglet Wards.
That's what I want to know.
I think Bob the books. Weasleys. Bob books. I think the Weasleys. I think they say in the series that the Weasleys were homeschooled at least for the first 11 years. But
and I can totally I see
so.
That.
Yeah, because, like, Molly is a very hands-on mom, so, like, it would make sense that she would do that. But I can't.
I could see, like, a kid like Malfoy going to some special, like, yeah. early wizarding school. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Can you see Lucius or Narcissa teaching Malfoy
no.
or anything?
No.
I could see them hiring
not even manners. Not even teaching them manners.
He also
would oh be like, God. Dobby, teach him how to read.
Do have money. A lot of rich people, like people like that, have nannies or, like, not scholars, right. tutors. That
tutors.
Yeah. Scholars.
Tutor their kids.
Well, scholars.
This is my scholar.
Scholars.
Scholars. Mummy.
Maybe he had a governess, like, you know, yeah. maybe it's like Jane Austen type circa, I don't know, Regency yeah. period.
Yeah. I love that. I think the white peacocks taught him everything.
I was going to say that.
Are you serious?
Yes. And I don't know why.
Rubbing off on you.
It's true. So this is a fun fact, not so much. No Muggle prime minister has ever set foot in the Ministry of Magic for reasons most succinctly summed up by ex-minister Dougal MacPhail, the term of office being 1858 to 1865. Their pure wee brains couldn't cope with it, pretty much. I don't know how to read that, how it is.
Couldn't they cope
with it?
It's got to be, like, in a real thick Scottish accent.
Yeah, I think
I'm not
going to
do that. I'm not going to do that.
I just, that is annoying.
Yeah. It's dumb.
It's so uppity. Like, I don't know how else to phrase that besides, like, they're below us and we're better mm-hmm. and we're not going to show them anything, but I'm going to have full access to their office anytime I need to. Also, I don't remember seeing a portrait of Ula Gamp in The Crown, so fake news.
it implies
that wizards believe that they're not only, you know, better, but, like, just smarter than Muggles. Yes. Where does that come from? Why do they think they're smarter?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, we talked about that in the first chapter of Half-Blood Prince, like, Fudge pops in
yeah and he just, like, doesn't explain anything,
just and then like wants him to be like, well, what is that, so he can be like, oh, psh, you don't know what a giant is, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things where, like, there are some things in the wizarding world that, like, are better, and then there's some things where, like, it's the 90s and you're still not using pens, but you're using a quill and ink.
This is the 90s,
smarter, not harder.
It's like we've been saying this probably for years at this point. Like, the wizarding world is so far ahead in some aspects and so far behind in some others, like, even politically. Yeah. So, like, looking at how they deal with mental health is terrible. It's not.
They don't.
Yeah, they don't deal with it. But then, you know, they've had women prime ministers way before we've had a woman president. Like, they're socially ahead in some aspects and socially horribly behind in others, and it's just an interesting balance.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to talk about Eula Camp?
No.
Okay, well, let's move on.
Isn't there like a law or something with his name?
Yes.
Camp's law.
I
have a link in there.
Oh, okay.
I could tell. No, it's fine. So Eula Camp, term from 1707 to 1718. Previously head of the Wizengamot, Gamp had the onerous job of policing a fractious and frightened community, adjusting to the imposition of the International Statute of Secrecy. His greatest legacy was to be found in the Department of Magical Law Enforcement. And so, yes, we know the word, not word, name Gamp because of Gamp's Law. And Hermione basically schooling Ron about this. And so one of the quotes is, your mother can't produce food out of thin air. No one can. Food is the first of the five principal exceptions to Gamp's law of elemental transfiguration. It's impossible to make good food out of nothing. You can summon it if you know where it is. You can transform it. You can increase the quantity if you've already got some. Dot, dot, dot. And so, yeah, Gamp's Law. So that's where we've heard that name before.
Dude, I wish. I wish I could just buy one serving of something and then be like, bam, 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 party time.
The amount that, like, they could just, like, fix world hunger. Like, why right. haven't they?
Yeah.
They don't want to be found out.
Because then
they want muggles coming to them for everything.
Just have it be like an anonymous donation or something. I don't know.
They could make it seem like the muggles found it themselves. Yeah. Muggles be walking around. They find this like, you know, mountain of pizza. And they're like, we just solved world hunger on our own. Oh my God.
Please move your million bananas to the belt.
You know, maybe they're like, you know what? We saw what loaves and fishes did for Jesus. We don't want this for us. Thank you very much.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe they said hard pass to that. I don't know.
Yeah. Maybe it'd be like Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs.
Yes. That's just dangerous now.
But the wizard kind would do that. They'd be like, they can just have this.
We'll
deal
just
with
have
it.
It rain spaghetti and meatballs. Yeah. It's fine.
Oh my gosh.
I love that book. Okay.
That's a good book. It's a good
movie.
So let's get down to Eula's name.
To defeat the Huns.
Sent all daughters. So from Old Norse roots, its meaning is playful heart, spirit play. So I thought that was interesting. And then the name Gamp is something that I did not think it was going to be. It's an umbrella. And so the word was thought to have made its debut in 1855 from a Charles Dickens novel. How do you say that next word?
Chuzzlewit.
Chuzzlewit? I truly have never heard of this.
I don't care for that word.
That's weird.
And so the character called Sarah Gamp often carried a large cotton umbrella. You're welcome. Mm-hmm. Everyone for that.
Would that really protect you from the rain? A cotton umbrella?
I don't know. It's 1855.
It probably maybe. Would if they put wax on top of it. Maybe.
True.
I feel like it would get heavy.
Yeah.
Maybe he's supposed to have that name because he like was the first to encompass ruling over the wizarding world.
Ah.
He's protecting the wizarding world with his,
with
his umbrella.
With his umbrella name.
Love it.
Hope it Love wasn't it. Cotton.
It's a great connection.
He taught us the umbrella of transfiguration rules.
Oh my God.
He taught us that if you have one umbrella, you can make more, but you can't make an umbrella out of nothing.
Right.
Yes.
I'm surprised that Rihanna didn't like use Gamp and like his symbol.
Gamp, eh.
Exactly.
Stop it, Tiffany.
That sounds so much better.
That was great.
No.
I buy that. Do a cover of it.
Oh, God. Let's talk about Damocles Rowl. We know that name. You're evil. So, Damocles' term was from 1718 to 1726. They were elected on a platform of being tough on muggles.
Ooh.
Are you surprised?
That sounds like the equivalent to like tough on immigration or something like that. You know?
Indeed.
I am the law and order president.
Well, Raul, we have, I don't know if they're the same family, but I'm going to assume so.
I have a link for you.
Raul.
Death Eater.
The one guy. Yeah.
Yes.
What's his name?
Raul. Snatcher, right? He was a snatcher, wasn't he?
What's Raul's first name?
Why don't you just hold on until I get to the link? Censured by the International Confederation of Wizards, he was eventually forced to step down. Click that link, folks. It's right there for you.
Oh my god, the picture is great.
Looks horrid. Absolutely horrid. I don't yes. Okay. That's yes. Okay. So Raul is the surname of a pure blood wizarding family.
Okay.
And
like that part Scorpius of this is quoted here.
Yeah. Part of the Sacred 28. Scorpius is quoted as the Raul's were pretty extreme Death Eaters. You don't
think so, my man. I love
Thorfinn.
Scorpius.
Thorfinn Raul is who you were thinking of that we know from the Potter series.
He's got serious RBF.
I don't know why when I pictured Raul in my head, I pictured that snatcher guy who like gets Hermione. What is his name?
Man,
with her scarf.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't remember off the top of my head. I have a Harry Potter podcast. Anyways,
that was who I pictured. No,
Scabior.
Scabior.
Scabby.
So famous Raul.
Scabby.
Damocles, Minister for Magic. Euphema Raul, legal guardian of Delphini.
Oh.
Oof.
If you didn't remember that.
No,
have you all seen Helena and Adria? Have you seen Kershaw live?
I have.
Yeah.
I have not.
Not yet. Not yet or not on your list.
Can we go half and half?
Okay. Yeah. After my
did you read it?
I did
oh, you didn't
not.
Like it live. You didn't read it.
Adria did not read it. I read it and saw it live. I did not. And I liked the stage magic, but the plot did not.
You didn't like the story.
It was not redeemed for me. The Trolley Witch scene was probably the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, I didn't like that scene.
The long fingers. You didn't
do
like
you
that?
Do you think they kept that in the new version? That's all succinct?
I'm
going to guess no.
I would hope that they cut that because it was utterly ridiculous.
But here's the thing, though. I feel like sometimes
they would keep it.
I feel like sometimes when you're watching something and they've like maybe edited it, they like cut out good things and leave in things that you're like, why did you leave that in? And you cut that out.
That's why part of me is like so curious to see this like
new one,
wind down version. But yeah.
I'm not paying for it again. Sorry.
I understand that.
So we have.
I like it, but yeah, I know that we're in the minority here.
We are.
Unsurprisingly, I cried through the entire things.
I cried in the Dumbledore scene when he finally told Harry that he loved him because I'm with Tiff on the Dumbledore love, but that was it.
But did you bleed? Because I bled. I literally
bled. She did.
The part
where Hagrid goes to their house, gut-wrenching. And then you think about it, we're like, no, he literally had to do that.
Yeah.
Like, was so great from that scene.
No,
I don't think so.
That's messed up because he was there.
Yeah, that's true. We were sitting really, really high up, and I got a nosebleed in the nosebleed section.
So. Oh,
yeah,
perfect.
I thought it was tears and snot, and it was blood.
It was all of it.
Oh no.
Yeah, it was bad. Anyways, we have Thorfinn Raul, who's the Death Eater, active during the Second Wizarding War. And then I don't know where this information is from. This is on the wiki, but I don't know who Regina and Rowena Raul are. It says Regina is an unspeakable during the
Wizards Unite.
Bogus. Rowena ministry worker in 2010s.
I want to see. I bet you both of these are Wizards Unite.
Technically canon. the game isn't technically canon.
This is true. Yeah, both of those characters are from Wizards Unite.
I'm not playing that.
Unite. Follow-up question from earlier.
Yes.
What is a pretty extreme Death Eater? Can you be like a super light Death Eater, like just for the aesthetic?
Death Eater light.
They're high on sugar.
Yeah, just for the aesthetic. Like, I just want to be dark and mysterious and don't talk to me. Like, is there a way? Because like, it just seems to me like in or out. It doesn't seem to me like there are gradations.
I don't think so either.
Yeah, I agree in terms of just like being one and not being one, but I'm gonna assume he meant that like they did a lot.
Like, I wonder if it's like they're all Death Eaters. They're all not great. And then there's some that like really enjoy what they're doing.
Then there's like Bellatrix.
Like, she's no qualms to torture.
Right.
Where there's others who are like, meh, I'm not really here for that. I'm here for like, you know, the medical benefit.
Self-preservation.
Our 401ks are great.
My.
Yeah, so like this is like the Death Eater that does it for the love of it, not for the external benefits.
Not for the dental.
What we're saying. Yeah.
Yeah.
The dental. That seems right. Let's talk about names. So Damocles, a courtier of ancient Syracuse, held to have been seated at a banquet beneath a sword hung by a single hair.
That sounds dangerous.
Yeah.
That does not sound like a good thing, but okay.
Yeah. I don't want anything to do with that.
Better been some thick hair. So the name Raoul is interesting. So I just pulled this little blurb because this is what I found. It says, if you've seen Western movies, you've seen Raouls. The noun Raoul names the circular point-covered disc on the end of a spur that is used to urge powerful steeds to maximum speeds.
There's a word for that?
There's a word for everything.
Apparently.
That's true.
But cowboys didn't invent them. Knights in shining armor were sporting them even before the 12th century. English speakers of yore picked up the noun Raoul from the Anglo-French Rewel, meaning small wheel. So I thought that was interesting.
Why, that makes me want to laugh.
Go ahead.
Maybe because their brains are small and that's why they want to be Death Eaters.
What?
I don't know, you know?
All they have
in their brain is like Death Eater stuff. When you should broaden your mind. Muggles are cool. So are like Muggleborns.
This is slightly off topic, but what season of Friends are you in, Katie and Megan? In your podcast? Three. Okay. I was going to make a Friends reference because the word your, I can't remember if you've already seen it, but the word your definitely reminded me of a really good Friends reference, but I don't want to ruin anything for you.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Is it one where people are fighting?
Oh my gosh.
Let's just say Pottery Barn. I don't think that's a
Yeah, I haven't seen that yet.
Okay.
It's a good one.
Oh, yeah.
Let's go to our next minister, shall we? Mm-hmm. Perseus Parkinson, term 1726 to 1733, attempted to pass a bill making it illegal to marry a muggle.
What a POS.
Megan?
Going through this list, does it annoy anybody else like how little variation there is with last names and how just like everybody happens to connect? Does that like annoy anybody else?
It seems
they're also a small group of people.
Yeah, there's not a whole lot of wizards going on in the Ink of Land.
Like, well, but if you didn't know about if you didn't know about the US, you'd think like all of us were connected to like the Bushes and the Clintons and like whoever else.
Yeah.
I think there's more people over here, though.
Yeah.
And really, it's only the small wizarding community.
I just feel like when it comes to politics, like, power keeps being, like, hoarded by the same family.
Yeah,
anyway.
For sure.
True.
They can use things like this.
Unfortunately, we need some fresh meat.
I am liking the name Perseus, though. I mean, feeling that from Percy Jackson.
So far, a lot of, like, bad people connections. Sad, you know?
Yeah,
sad. Well, they're the old names in wizardry.
I know,
you know?
This is true. So we're gonna pop up.
So yes, this person misread the public mood, the wizarding community, tired of anti-Muggle sentiment and wanting peace, voted him out at the first opportunity.
Yeah, that's right. Get out.
I was shocked. And of course, we all know Pansy. A bad egg. This is
name
part of
geranium.
Oh my god. I said egg, not flower.
But her name is Pansy.
Anyway, Parkinson is part of the Sacred 20.
Like of geraniums on this podcast.
Sacred 28. So yeah. It says at least one member of the family was sorted into Slytherin House. Thank you for that, Harry
Isn't
Potter.
Isn't it weird to think that this girl is married to a Hefner now?
Yeah, talk about that. She had his baby, didn't she? Didn't they have a baby in the last year?
Oh, in real time life then?
You're talking about the actress who plays Pansy Park?
Yes. She's married to like Hugh Hefner's grandson.
I think it's his son.
I think really? My mom went to summer camp with like Hugh Hefner's daughter. It's crazy. It's a small world.
How many children did Hugh Hefner have?
Yeah, his son Cooper is married to her.
Oh, wow.
Cooper.
He probably had a lot of children. I would not be surprised if he had a lot of children.
Yeesh. The name Perseus is a hero, the son of Zeus. And how do you say that, Danae?
He only has four children.
What's that?
Hugh Hefner. The important things on a Harry Potter podcast.
We need to know these things. The real issues.
Yes.
What house do you think he was in?
He's a Muggle.
Great answer.
Anyway, who slew the Gorgon Medusa and afterward saved Andromeda from a sea monster? There you go. And then, so I could not find anything with Parkinson except for the British physician James Parkinson, who first described title an essay on the shaking palsy, so Parkinson's disease, in 1817. That's literally all I could find, because I could not go that many pages. It was like page after page. This is another name you're gonna know. This is Eldrick Diggory. Woo. Term 1733 to 1747, a popular minister who first established an aura recruitment program, died in office from dragonpox.
That's cool
that he started a recruitment program.
Yeah.
Yeah, that dragonpox man
wiped out a lot of witches and wizards.
Mm-hmm.
They should have gotten vaccinated.
They should have. You're right.
All I can think of is my boy. Oh, so sad, Tiffany, man. Yeah. I am sorry.
I didn't ask for that.
However, if you go into Amos Diggory's whole deal, he wasn't a nice chap. Especially if you know about cursed child stuff.
I don't dig them. You know what I mean?
Not the greatest of fellas, you know, it is what it is.
I don't dig them. Get it? Diggory? I love it. Wait, that's great.
Is Dig'ems a game or something?
Dig Dug is a game.
I know Dig Dug's a game.
There's
what
Steak-ums.
Am I thinking of? Steak'ems is what I'm thinking of.
Oh my god. Oh my god.
Oh, I was thinking of Steak'ems. How strange.
I always Steak-ums. Wanted Steak'ems. My dad would never buy them.
I don't think they're that good. anyways, Eldritch. And I thought that this was really cool. So, a strange or unnatural, especially in a way that inspires fear, weird and eerie, and the women whose voice had risen as a kind of eldritch sing-song turned with a skip and was gone. And that was like the first quote that was like at the top of the search. Yes. So eldritch things are spooky and weird. They make the hairs on the back of your neck stand up. If you're reading horror or a fantasy story, you may see the word eldritch, which means uncanny, unearthly, and weird in a supernatural way. Anything that a witch does is eldritch. Goblins and elves are eldritch creatures. I thought that that was interesting.
This is making it one of my favorite words now.
Actually. It's really cool.
Are fairies eldritch?
I was gonna ask.
I don't know. Maybe you could Google that.
Are high fae eldritch?
High
are Illyrians eldritch?
Get out.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't either. So the name Diggory is a boy's name of French origin, meaning lost one.
Like a Peter Pan. Well,
we lost Cedric. And he
and
was the first, like, of that, like, the beginning of
the
that
first
word,
loss.
I feel like, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
he was number one.
And I'm done. You're all welcome for that wealth of information.
Mm-hmm. Let's continue on our timeline. We've got Albert Boot, which,
like,
is
Terry.
Right?
Oh, Terry.
So, don't we have a boot in the Slug Club, right?
Terry, isn't it?
Is it Terry? Or I didn't know if that was him or his dad's name. Because, like, it doesn't Slughorn only invite him because of, or no, his because of his uncle, right?
I'm but. Sorry, is it Terrence Boot?
Only was he in trouble. When he's in trouble, he's Terrence Boot.
So, Albert was minister from 1747 to 1752. He was likable, but inept. And it's just such a sad sentence about a minister. Likable, but inept. He resigned.
Was he like a himbo? Like, what is happening here?
I that's my headcanon now, if it's not true.
So he didn't do such a good job with the Goblin Rebellion. And
poor guy.
So he resigned because of that. And then he was elected, though. He was elected minister by the wizarding population of Great Britain and Ireland after the death of Eldritch Diggory. As we, Tiffany just said, he died of dragonpox. So the Boot family, we do know that last name. It's unknown if they are pureblood or not. Like, we do not know. However, the family was most famous for its involvement in the founding of Ilvermorny. One of the co-founders, so actually two boots.
A pair of boots.
One for each foot.
And it's wee little bits.
They founded Ilvermorny. However, one of them, Webster, later returned to Great Britain, where then his descendants would have been educated at Hogwarts.
His descendant Albert got the boot.
He did.
Catherine.
Did get the boot.
There are too many boot puns. Cedric. I didn't realize there was.
Oh, wait, no. Never mind. That's not. We're Cedric not on boot. Diggory anymore. I was going to be like, Cedric also got the boot.
Oh, Meg.
The boot of life.
Did.
That was sad. Anyway, you didn't even have a hood on today.
Etymology. So, boot is an English occupational surname for a person who makes or sells boots. Surprise, surprise.
Crazy.
Though it is also a Dutch occupational surname for a boatman, because the Dutch word boot means boat.
What's that all about?
What's that all about? But that's really all we know about Albert. He was inept. And
inept.
I think he's great. My favorite so far.
Right? He's kind of mine too so far. Though
I don't know
like,
if we're picking favorites, but
I do always. Like this next guy's name, though. Basil Flack.
I don't think it ain't Basil, but it's probably pronounced Basil.
It is, you're right. It's probably Basil Flack. I like this guy, too. His term was from 1752 to 1752.
Oof.
He was the shortest serving minister.
How short was
he? Like
2 months.
Was he like the Scaramucci?
I was like 4 foot.
What was that, Adri?
Oh my
like
god.
The Scaramucci out of like the wizarding world.
A
like,
secretary.
It's like a celebrity marriage.
Right.
Katie.
Kim Kardashian.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh.
What, 72 days? There's someone that was married less than that.
Brittany.
Yeah, how many? She Brittany? Was married for hours, right?
Yeah.
Something.
Yeah.
I mean, mistakes were made in Vegas. So,
yeah.
Well, it did not stay in Vegas.
It did not stay.
It didn't stay anywhere.
So, Basil.
Basil.
As we know, he took over for Albert Boot, who resigned because of the Goblin Rebellion. So Basil here lasted 2 months and also resigned because the Goblin forces joined with the werewolves. It is possible he was just like appointed to be a temporary acting minister because of the crisis of the Goblin Rebellions, but we don't really know for sure. That's just kind of like assumed.
Why are we just resigning and giving up?
Yeah, so he just like gave up, basically.
Yeah. Yep. Yep, he did. So the goblins joined forces with the werewolves and he was like, peace out. I am not helping anymore. Don't know what to do. Goodbye. It's interesting though, because his last name, so etymology, his last name is Flack, which is an alternate spelling of the word flack, F-L-A-K, which is English slang for adverse criticism. And also Basil is a name derived from the Greek word. It's in Greek. I don't know how to say that, but it means king.
I don't know how to say that.
It's like quite literally in Greek.
Like, there's
letters.
A Greek
Basileus? Basileus? I don't know.
So he's like the king of adverse criticism is what we're saying now.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fitting.
So three ministers in 1752 here, because this next one,
Hephaestus
Gore, 1752 to 1770. He lasted, guys. He lasted. I thought this was cool though. So he's one of the earliest Aurors.
Is he related to Al Gore?
I was wondering that.
Maybe.
Does he care about climate change?
The internet seems pretty magical to me, Helene, so I'm just thinking.
You know? So Hes, hold on, how did we say this? Hephaestus?
Let's call him Hespa.
Hephaestus. I could do it. I could do it. Hephaestus. Right. He successfully put down a number of revolts by magical beings. Although historians feel his refusal to contemplate rehabilitation programs for werewolves ultimately led to more attacks. And he is also known for the renovation and for reinforcing Owl's Caban, folks. Or Azkaban.
I don't like this guy.
Yeah, I mean, he definitely... I think that, I mean, there's always been prejudice against werewolves, and he probably just deemed them unworthy of rehabilitating, which is not fair and not good. But yeah, that's ultimately what he decided.
And then he's like,
sucks.
Azkaban, it needs a makeover.
Right. And I mean, like, in theory, that potentially sounds good, but we know what Azkaban looks like. So, like, is it good? Probably not.
They put in a lounge for the Dementors.
Right.
Did he work towards prison reform or, you know, like,
right.
Did he make it better? Did he make it worse?
Probably worse.
Renovations on Azkaban. I can't remember.
Right. It's like,
that.
It's like,
there's
we know
new
how
wallpaper.
Horrid, but like, we know how horrid Azkaban is. So, like, yeah. What on earth did you renovate?
Right.
Wallpaper.
Wallpaper.
It's the wallpaper from the Haunted Mansion.
He added air conditioning for when it gets hot.
Window. That's how Sirius got out.
The window. Exactly. Oh my God.
The window unit. Yeah. So, but, you know, this guy kind of reminds me of just like a bad cop, you know? Mm-hmm. He was an Auror. Didn't care about rehabilitation programs. Decisions he made led to more attacks. Pro prison.
Doesn't deserve the Gore name.
Just throw him in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So etymology. Hephaestus may have been a derivative of Hephaestus, a Greek god of blacksmiths. metallurgy
bars
and fire. Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking. I was like, oh, prison.
Hephaestus mm-hmm. is known to be like the god of like he does a lot of inventions, a lot of tools. Mm-hmm. He's like a mechanic. I mean, I don't know if you've ever read the Percy Jackson series. If you haven't, I highly recommend it.
I haven't, but I've
heard.
Will add it to my long list of to be reads. I bought another book today and I was like, what are you doing? Put it down. But I bought it.
I feel like I'm in a book slump. Mind you, I just finished a book 2 days ago, but I'm like, I don't feel like reading. So I might take a break. I've read a lot this year.
So gore, the only thing that we really have in terms of etymology on gore is just like, you know, how it's known to be an English term for blood and is particularly used in reference to graphic violence depicted in visual media. Which again, kind of, I mean, like, honestly, that does kind of tie back to the things that we said about him. Mm-hmm. So
yep.
There's always a reason for everything. As we know, the author really pays attention to her names and like the meaning behind the names and all of that kind of stuff.
Wolf, mm-hmm. Werewolf Moonface.
I like this guy's name. Maximilian. Wait, is that how you would say that?
I think it's Maximilian.
Yeah. Maximilian Crowdy, 1770 to 1781. He was a father of nine.
It's Crowdy in that house.
Crowded and rowdy. AKA Crowdy.
Oh,
I love it.
He was a charismatic leader who routed out several extremist pureblood groups planning muggle attacks. See, like, I just had a feeling this guy was going to be kind of cool. I don't know why.
The name, like, Maximilian, you know.
Right?
One in a million.
His mysterious death in office has been the subject of numerous books and conspiracy theories.
Ooh, I don't like that.
Right? So we actually, that was all that was in, like, the minister's magic article. However, in the author's writing on Makuza, he's mentioned again in that writing. So in 1777, the American Wizards argued for and against interventionism in the Revolutionary War. And when president of Makuza, President Elizabeth McGilligutty.
Love it.
McGilligutty.
It says G, McGilligutty.
McGilligutty.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know that's a real last name. That's all.
I don't know. Sought the advice of the Ministry of Magic to find out whether they intended to intervene on their side. Minister Crowdy replied with only a four-word message, sitting this one out. And McGilligutty replied back with an even shorter message, mind you do. So neither Makuza or the ministry intervened in the Revolutionary War.
Huh.
So.
Interesting.
I remember reading that and just being like, I mean, I guess like a, I don't know how I feel about the fact that they didn't intervene.
I mean, yeah. The question is, do they normally intervene?
Right.
Was this a particularly hard war because they didn't?
I think maybe. That we're supposed to believe that they did because of what we're supposed to be seeing in Fantastic Beasts 3. With
that's what I was going to say. I was like,
II.
Well, they definitely intervened in the other world wars.
Did anybody talk about intervening in the Civil War? Did they intervene with World War I?
I don't know. I guess maybe I don't. Well,
I think he's just using world, like, because he's seeing what's happening for World War II, and he's just using that fear of.
But didn't
Newt and his brother were in the war?
Yeah.
But I don't know. Were they there because the ministry wanted them there, or were they there because they're citizens of a country and they don't want fighting? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I think that from my understanding of like what Grindelwald uses is like, this is what's going to happen if we let them continue on doing what they're doing. And everyone already has gone through one world war and they don't want that to happen again. It's still going to happen.
Adri.
Yeah, I feel like it's more like the ministry or any other like wizarding government is like, do not interfere like politically on this. We're not going to do anything. But like, wizards are like low-key like, okay, so I see this happening around my neighborhood, I'm gonna do something about it.
Yeah,
right. I mean, like, the world wars, those were there. I mean, like,
mm-hmm.
how can you just not I don't know. And I did find Newt worked with dragons in the war, so it was not for the Muggles unless there's some.
No, but do we
he
know
said
that
I worked mostly with dragons, Ukrainian Iron Bellies, Eastern Front, is what he tells Jacob.
So, but was he working with the English? Like, was he working for that Ministry of Magic? Was he working with a different country's Ministry of Magic where they were more involved?
I don't know.
That's something we don't know.
I wonder. Okay, hold on here. I found there's a wiki article about World War One. So let me. It says during the war, British Minister for Magic Archer Evermond was responsible for passing emergency legislation forbidding wizards and witches from getting involved in an attempt to prevent mass breaches of the International Statute of Secrecy. However, this did not prevent thousands of wizards from discreetly aiding Muggles wherever they could. The minister's position drew the public condemnation of Wizengamot member Henry Potter. Interesting. Which which caused a minor stir at the time. Hold on, who is Henry Potter? Is this real?
I mean, he has to be related.
Great grandfather of Harry. Okay. Yeah. Cool. Let's see. What is that from? Oh, it's from the author's writing on the Potter family. And then also, where is, I bet you this Archer Evermond is from. Yeah, the Ministers for Magic article, which we'll probably get to in the next episode or later. I'm not sure. So it also says here, Theseus Scamander was among the wizards who participated in the First World War, later earning a reputation as a war hero. His younger brother, Newt Scamander, was part of a secret British Ministry of Magic operation to wrangle Ukrainian Iron Bellies on the Eastern Front. This program was ultimately canceled as the dragons tried to eat everyone other than Newt. Where is that? Oh, that's explained in The Beast's Cinematic Guide.
So I didn't know there was that much backstory to that. I have a feeling it has to come into play in upcoming Beast movies if it's going to have all of that already written out, you know?
Yeah,
I agree. Real. I think what's interesting with like the Fantastic Beasts movies, I think because of the fact that they're movies and not novels, like if you read a lot of the companion books that came out for the movie, you learn a lot more about the storyline. And I haven't necessarily done that yet, but it's because like things had to get cut, right? So like she writes this long script and obviously we can't fit everything into it. So then things get chipped away, but like those pieces of information are still valid. So I think that they kind of like sprinkled them out throughout these books, because I think that there's other ones here that are referenced. So there's the screenplay. I know that there was also some stuff in the screenplay that like is just better described in like the notes and stuff. It's not necessarily said, but like in her descriptions and stuff of like the scenes or whatever, like you learn a little bit more. Also, deleted scenes are referenced in this article. Like I said, the Beast Cinematic Guide, Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, Newt Scamander Cinematic Guide, Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them Character Guide.
Can't they just put this all on one thing for me?
That would be nice.
Money, Katie.
I know.
Money.
Why let you buy one book when you could buy five?
Right. It says here, too, the Wizarding War effort in Europe included an Owl Air Force, although whether it was used for deploying attacks, sending messages, surveillance, or some combination of the three is unknown. That is in the character guide for Fantastic Beasts.
Interesting.
I guess I'm going to assume that, like, to a point there was involvement. However, then they had to backpedal because of Archer Evermond, the minister. But that doesn't mean that people didn't aid, because again, like if the war is in your backyard, you're going to protect like yourself and those around you if you want to and you have the means to. So like, good luck forbidding someone from doing that when they know that they have like an answer to this literally like with their wand or something, you know what I mean?
So then the question is, why did both the British wizards and American wizards decide not to intervene in the Revolutionary War?
They were probably like, those petty Americans, let them fight it out.
Are they Americans yet? I mean,
well, I guess not.
Unless, they
thought it was going to create conflict within the wizards.
I can see that. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, all right. I can see that.
Interesting.
And maybe it was the fact that they were fighting over there, so they'd have to ship their wizards over there.
Right.
And they're like, meh, we don't want to do that.
Meh.
Seems unnecessary.
Yeah. So next up is, this guy has a cool name too, Porteous Knatchbull from 1781 to 1789. He was called in confidentially in 1782 by the Muggle Prime Minister of the day, Lord North, to see whether he could help with King George III's emerging mental instability. Word leaked out that Lord North believed in wizards, and he was forced to resign after a motion of no confidence.
Dang.
Did the word get leaked out by the wizards themselves so they wouldn't have to?
That's interesting. I mean, maybe.
Could be. Honestly,
with like how serious they were back in those days about like the International Statute of Secrecy, I wouldn't doubt that.
Yeah. Good thought.
And Every time I hear a no confidence thing, all I think of is Star Wars now.
And yes. it makes sense why the Muggle Prime Minister in the first chapter of Half-Blood Prince like is not going to tell anybody, because they all probably know about this guy, you know?
For sure. And like the ministers know even more, because they're like, well, he was not telling a lie, you know, but like, look what happened to him. So I'm not doing that. I'm not making that mistake again. Next up is Unctuous Osbert. Great name.
What are you going to name your kid?
Unctuous.
I'm stuck on for sure. Osbert.
Osbert.
Close to Oswald. Mm-hmm. The lucky rabbit. Mm-hmm. Thank you,
I just
Walt Disney.
Still think of Oswald the octopus.
Yes.
So Unctuous was the prime minister from 1789 to 1798. Widely seen as too much influenced by purebloods of wealth and status. More specifically, Septimus Malfoy.
Malfoy.
Why am I not surprised?
Just remind you of Lucius and Cornelius.
Mm-hmm.
1.0. And best Lucius and Cornelius friend. Is 2.0.
All of these people have names that end in US, which is weird.
Interesting.
Huh.
Unctuous, Septimus, Cornelius.
Weird. Mm. So when Osbert was minister, it is said that he was influenced to some degree by Malfoy's interest. Many claimed that Minister Osbert was little more than a puppet of Malfoy's, who would have been the de facto head of the ministry. De facto meaning in fact or in effect, whether by right or not.
We've seen this.
Yeah, literally, it's like a carbon copy.
Yeah,
or the Lucius and Cornelius relationship is a carbon copy of this one. And honestly, it's a unfortunate, super common thing I think that we see in politics in general. It's, you know, politicians are, they listen to money. So yep. The Malfoys have money. The politicians listen to the Malfoys. Etymology on unctuous. It is an English word deriving from the Latin ungo, meaning I anoint with oil. And the English word means to be insincerely polite and earnest. So, lying, I guess. Yeah.
Fake. Well. That sounds great. It sounds just like, I don't know, a very long way of saying lying sack of poop. Okay.
Yeah.
So he's an oily lying sack of poop.
Oh,
right.
I like that. I like that, Helene. Fantastic.
Yeah.
All right. I think I've got the rest. Well, not the rest, but the next section of the timeline. First off, with Artemisia Lufkin. She was a Hufflepuff and the first witch to become Minister of Magic.
Yes.
From
awesome.
Yeah, girl power. Who run the world?
Girl.
Girl. She served from 1798 to 1811, and she established the Department of International Magical Cooperation and lobbied hard and successfully to have a Quidditch World Cup tournament held in Britain during her term in office.
Nice. That's
cool.
She seems like a solid lady.
Mm-hmm. I feel like she and McGonagall would have gotten along great.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Also, no one went hungry during her term.
Because she's a Hufflepuff. Had
snacks. Oh my gosh. Katie.
I'm hungry.
Well, it says here that Artemisia comes from a large family of herbs with common names like wormwood, mugwort, absinthe, tarragon, and sagewort. It may also refer to Artemisia, and I am not saying that last name, an Italian painter. Okay, I'm going to try.
Gentileschi.
That sounds solid.
I mean, 2 semesters of Italian, and this is the best I can do. An Italian painter influenced by Caravaggio. She is famous for ferocious painting of Judith beheading Holofernes and worked for a while in England in the court of Charles I. Cool. I'm also thinking like Artemis, goddess of the hunt, even though that wasn't in the info. Next up, we've got another Hufflepuff.
Yeah.
Grogan Stump. Yes. He was a popular minister of magic serving from 1811 to 1819 and established the Department of Magical Games and Sports. So from one Hufflepuff who wanted, you know, Quidditch World Cup to another one who was like, we need more sports in the wizarding world.
That's sports ball.
Where are these sporty Hufflepuffs?
I know.
You say that like you don't exercise every day.
But okay, yeah. Exercise.
They're all buff puffs.
Okay. Oh, I was thinking like sports because I sports
running ball. Is a sport. Don't they have sport? Wait, hold on.
They almost have.
I almost asked. Don't they have sports at the Olympics?
Yes, a lot of them.
At the Olympics. They have weightlifting at the Olympics. What else do you do? You run your mouth. They do that at the Olympics.
Oh my god.
If that was an Olympic game.
But truly, an Olympic game.
They even have kayaking. I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah.
Badminton. That one really got me.
All right. I guess I'm sporty.
Jeez.
I did always after like sporty been... spice.
There we go.
Oh my gosh.
Most important spice of all.
Right.
So he passed important legislation on creatures and beings. Stump was a big fan of the Tutshill Tornadoes Quidditch team, enjoyed sports, but also helped creatures and beings.
I love
all about
that.
Teamwork and also, you know, creatures and beings. Then from two puffs who were popular and loved sports to Josephina Flint, an anti-Muggle minister for magic who held office from 1819 to 1827.
Flint.
She did not like Muggle inventions, particularly of the telegraph, and thought it was interfering with wands and magic. Sounds like Jewish space laser to me, but who knows? possibly related to Marcus Flint, a boy in Slytherin House during the time of the one, the only Harry Potter.
Yeah, he was the first person I thought of when you said her name.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then we've got Odolin Gamble, a minister of magic from 1827 to 1835. She was more appreciative of Muggles and their technology than many wizards of the time. Not quite sure if that means she was like seeing them as people, because that doesn't necessarily say much.
Maybe she was like Arthur, where she just liked it.
But you know, when we're talking about like, oh, you know, he wasn't as racist as the people of their time. And we're like, but like, quantify this for me.
Yeah.
And introduced the Hogwarts Express as the method of transport into Hogwarts.
Awesome.
Adeline Gamble personally offered the Hogwarts Express trolley witch the job she has held ever since started taking students.
So this lady knows such about judgment. The trolley witch's fingers.
I mean, you're gonna hire that creepy.
I mean, anything off the trolley, dear.
Yeah. Chris Child ruined that for me. Sorry, guys. Judgment.
She's
though.
Had the job since like what, 1830, probably. So,
yeah, she should go to the salon and get her nails done.
Get a petty.
I mean, like, I mean, imagine the cute Honey Dukes designs you could get designed on your nails as the Trolley Witch.
That would cute. Be cute.
Yes. I wonder how expensive say, that would be, though.
You could say Trolley Witch on her fingers. Nope. I'm missing.
They're it. Long enough. You could fit it yeah. all on one.
There you go.
On one nail.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, there's also a possibly a family connection to the joke shop Gamble and Japes in Diagon Alley. It says here that the Hogwarts Express Trolley Witch felt she had fallen short of Otto and Gamble's hope or expectations after Scorpius and Albus escaped from the train on Cursed Track.
I couldn't she touch should, them she, with my long finger.
She should resign. Yeah. Oh out of shame.
Out of shame.
Well, Gamble means to frolic or romp. So I'm guessing she's a very frolicky type minister. Well, next up, we've got a somewhat familiar name, Rodolphus Lestrange, or Lestrange. I always forget how to say this.
I say Lestrange now because of Jim Dale. So get fancy with it.
It depends on the mood I'm in. Sometimes I'm like, it's Bellatrix Lestrange. And then I'm like, it's Bellatrix Lestrange.
I feel that way as well. Yes. Yeah. I found my people.
I think both are accurate, and you can just decide how you say it based on how you feel.
I mean,
unless you meet her and she's like, hey, you've been saying my name wrong.
Right.
But yeah. I think, well, she's now dead, so you're not going to meet her. So no. It's fine.
I think you're me. Lestrange if you say Lestrange.
I feel if I ever meet her, I would die, so I wouldn't have any time to rectify my
wait before you kill me. I need to know,
how do you say your name?
What are your pronouns?
You know what, she would just laugh and like kill you and not tell you, just so you died very unhappy.
I mean, I would definitely just be a ghost only for that. I need to know. So Rodolphus, our friend here, decided to close down the Department of Mysteries, but they just ignored him. That's my favorite thing.
I don't think that's too bad of an idea.
Yeah, they're just like, we're not working here. Nothing to see here. It's fine. It's closed. Why are you here? It is closed.
It's closed. Get out.
He resigned due to the quote stress of the office, which is a big mood.
Oh my gosh. Sure. You would think he'd have a little bit more, like, I don't know, gumption. I don't know. What's the word I'm trying to think of?
Grit. Resilience.
Yeah, resilience. That's a good one.
I wonder why he was like, you know what needs to go? The Department of Mysteries.
It's too mysterious.
Hmm.
I don't understand.
It's probably the love room. It is spicy.
Love is spicy.
Love is spicy.
That's, trust him out.
A deep cut joke between me and Helene. I'm sorry. All right. And the last one that we've got today is Hortensia Millifet. She was a minister of magic from 1841 to 1849 and introduced much more legislation than other ministers for magic. But some of it was pointless, such as proposed law on hat pointiness, and she fell out of favor
because of I'm just that specific law.
And it's like, why does this remind me of Percy and Umbridge in like the worst possible ways?
Cauldron bottoms,
cauldron thickness. Bottoms.
I didn't like her one law on how my hat had to be pointy, so I'm gonna quote her out.
It's not. That the hat had to be pointy is that if it was pointy, it needed to be a specific kind of pointiness, I'm assuming.
That's a lot.
That's too much.
That's a lot.
She was doing cared about her hats.
I love how
you know how we care about our fashion, the ladies. That's why we can't be present.
Oh my gosh.
I love how after 1798 it was like a lot of women who were elected. That's super cool. Not all,
but one of them wasn't that good.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Josephina Flint.
Yeah.
How are we here already?
That's all we're here already for today.
Yeah.
But this is only half the list.
Yeah.
Yes.
That is
who
true.
Who wants to hear a fan story?
Me. Not me.
Sarah, then take off your headphones. All right.
So extra.
This week's fan story comes from, and I'm going to try and say your name right, Andy Olivan Silva.
Good guess.
That's pretty. Yeah. Olivan Silva.
Thank you. All right. Name, Andy. Houses, Ravenclaw and Thunderbird. Wand, Ashwood with Phoenix Feather Core, 12 and a half inches and hard flexibility. Patronus, a snowy owl. And here's story.
That's like one of the coolest Patronuses.
That's pretty awesome.
Also, every time I see Ashwood now, I just think about Akatar.
I didn't even think about that.
And, oh, yeah.
Ash arrows.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Made me think of Ash Ketchum, and I wish that I was lying.
Gotta catch
so him. So proud
up.
Of you.
Pokemon.
I dressed up as Ash Ketchum for Halloween one year. It was awesome.
Katie is so BA.
I looked awesome. The year is 1999. The third Harry Potter book has just come out. I'm 9 years old and everyone in my school is talking about Harry Potter. It's insanely popular. I feel like this is a setup the same.
Yes.
As
AJ's.
Yeah.
I felt this in my heart. I was just excuse me.
No, I love it.
Not even on purpose. This is how I became a fan. I would hear these stories from my peers about a young boy who wore hand-me-downs and became a wizard. I would have daydreams that it was me. I say I heard about it because my family was too poor to afford anything. Sometimes we wouldn't even be able to afford food. So books were definitely a luxury. The only thing I could do was sign up for the extremely long waiting list at the library and wait my turn. One day, my teacher announced to the class a citywide contest. All the third to fifth grade students could enter. You had to take a picture of an animal and write a report about it. This part I feel a little bad about. I lied to my parents and told them it was a mandatory school project. And I don't know how they did it, but they bought me a disposable camera and then had it developed when I finished. I wanted to win so bad. There was cash prizes and other really cool prizes that my family would never be able to afford. My entry consisted of a picture of a squirrel and a small essay about them. Long story short, I did not win. However, I did get an honorable mention. I wasn't even able to go to the ceremony because we didn't have transportation. That Monday, I got called into the principal's office. She was so proud of me and upset that I had not won anything. She wasn't having it. She called in the librarian and told her to take me to the book fair, which was going to start that day in the library, and pick something out. I did not even think about it twice. I wanted Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone. That book instantly became my most valuable possession. I read and reread it over and over. I envy those who have stories like, quote, we instantly went out and bought all the other books. Because even though books 2 and 3 were already out, it wouldn't be for another 2.5 years till I got my hands on book 2. I love these books so much. I love listening to you all because I feel like I finally have friends who love these books as much as me. Thank you so much.
Goodness.
Oh, Andy, this was like the best story ever.
No.
Yeah.
I know.
I'm gonna cry.
Yeah, that tends to happen a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that it happened for you, that you got to go into this world that you like so desperately wanted to dive into.
Yeah.
What a good principle.
Yes. Sometimes we get these stories where we hear about educators and how, you know, they weren't the greatest educators, but I love stories like this that that showcase great educators and how it makes such a huge impact in the lives of children. And I just thank you so much for your story. Like, we really appreciate it.
Yeah.
I have a similar sort of, like, I understand where you're coming from. My family didn't have a lot of money growing up either. And it is, you know, it is people outside of your immediate family sometimes who, like, give you something like that. Like, I got my first book.
Katie's whole family like shared one book.
Yeah, we all
so they all
it.
Had to like wait in line for each other to like finish the book.
But like, I got to read them because of someone else. You know what I mean? Because we weren't just buying books either. So
yeah,
I relate and I understand. And
yeah, I didn't.
Glad you're part of the community.
I didn't have my first set of books until, like, literally upstairs. I have the copy of Chamber of Secrets that I pretty much kind of stole from someone on accident because I never gave it back. Sorry.
Tiffany, that's worse than blowing your horn out the window.
It's probably
detention.
I think that the person is okay with you having it.
I think they're fine. It was since seventh grade, I think. But like my parents didn't buy me, like I got the first, I got the first four in a set for Christmas from my aunt. So, and books aren't cheap.
They really are.
Especially hardback books. So I totally get that as well. So I didn't own them until.
Especially when they came out before Amazon or anything like that.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. You had to like go to, you actually had to go into a bookstore, guys.
I got one of them at Walmart. I remember we bought it for my dad and then I wrote in it in my crappy handwriting. You're like, here's a book that you can read, Dad.
The first one that I could actually go and get was Order. And I went to Borders, like at the mall.
Borders.
Yes, I remember going Borders, to
Walden Books one time.
Where?
We went to Walden Books.
Oh, Walden Books. Yeah. I mean, actually, it might have been Walden Books. I can't remember. Or Dalton. I don't know. So many bookstores that don't exist anymore.
Yeah.
There's a website that called thriftbooks.com that I got like all my Percy Jackson books on when I started that series earlier this year. You can get like a hardcover book for like $4. So I definitely suggest they sell like old library books. Okay. So like they'll come with like the library stuff on the side. And
what is it called again?
Can I send you my bill? don't have her repeat it, Megan, because we don't need any more books.
I know this is accurate. No, but really, what is it?
It's thriftbooks.com. I got like all five of the Heroes of Olympus for like a total of maybe $16.
Wow. Awesome.
All hardcover too.
Wow.
They don't charge shipping. So I mean, if you're okay with like your books not looking brand new, they're all old.
Oh, I don't care. You know what I love too is like books
Timmy's
that have
grandma.
Written. Yes. I love when people write in books and then I get it. So like,
I actually do you ever shop at Half Price Books?
Because yes.
That's,
like that's my where favorite. I got Timmy's grandma from, I think.
Yeah. I got a signed, like it's like a little supplemental book written by Rick Riordan, the author of Percy Jackson. And it was signed by him. And it was only $10, and I bought it, and it was only $10 because it was made out to like Gabe or something. I don't Gabe. Care though. You have to buy that when you see that, right? It doesn't matter. Like,
for sure.
What so is cool. Gabe thinking?
I know,
right?
Signed by the author.
What is Timmy's grandson thinking or grandchild? I don't know if it was boy or girl. They might be non-binary. I don't know. But what were they thinking?
I don't know.
Especially because your grandma got it for you. I still have stuff that I have for my grandma that I didn't really care for, but it's still here because she bought it for me.
I have butterfly hair clips that have since rusted from my grandma. I will not get rid of those.
Butterfly hair clips.
I ate my grandma. That's probably what Timmy's grandchild is thinking.
It took a long time, too.
I'm so sad that there's no Half Price Books in Florida.
But there's that one we found.
So sad.
I know, but
this is bad. Now I'm on this website and I don't need genuinely don't need any more books.
I'm an enabler.
Right, so,
what can I buy?
Quick question. Are you ladies more of a I need a physical book or like ebooks and audiobooks are fine?
For me, I cannot do audiobooks just because I cannot focus. But I do both ebooks and hard like real books. So like when I'm not reading at work, I typically will not read an ebooks because it's easier because I have my Kindle app on my phone, but I don't use it. And then I'll read like real books, like hard, like physical books.
Well, because like there's this app called Libby and it links to your library card, and I get a bunch of like audiobooks and also ebooks if they don't have like an audiobook.
That's awesome.
I love to like listen to the book and just like clean the house
or I always have an audiobook going at the same time that I'm reading, like whether it's a physical book or on my Kindle, but usually if it's like a really hefty book I'll put it on my Kindle, that way I don't have to like lug it around. But if I really like it I'll buy it on Kindle and physical.
I have both.
There's a lot that I have both.
It just depends. Like right now I'm reading a Twisted Disney Tale and it's little, so I'm like reading the physical copy of that and listening to A Discovery of Witches on Audible.
There's something different.
Love
about
A Discovery
like,
of Witches.
It's pretty good.
Have you seen the series yet?
I know nothing about it except what I've read so far in this book.
Oh.
All right. We need to connect afterwards.
Okay. All right, Katie, tell me a joke.
All right. Well, thank you, Andy, for sharing your story and inspiring this awesome talk.
Yeah.
All right. What do Dementors do on their breaks?
I was going to say make out, but that seems bad.
Oh, Azkabanter.
Sarah, do you have any?
Yeah, do you have any jokes?
Well, I was trying to think of like what jokes could I look up. So I was like, maybe presidential jokes. Because,
right. Oh, boy.
I mean, well, the like first it. One is, where does the president keep his razor?
In the Oval Office? I don't know.
In the cabinet.
Oh. Jeez.
Let's see if there's another one. Oh. What do you call a basement full of politicians?
Oh, God.
A wine cellar.
Oh,
my God. Oh, God.
I enjoy. I enjoy this.
Goodness.
All right.
Do Moving it. On.
Follow your hosts on social media. Myself and Katie are on Twitter and Instagram at the Petrus Family. Tiffany is on Twitter and Instagram at tiffswish_flick. Sarah is on Instagram at O'Malley with 3 H's. And ladies, please add yours.
I'm at Anana Banana on both Twitter and Instagram.
I am personally at Helene Karp, HelenEKARP on Twitter, and then Helene.Karp on Instagram. And then our podcast, Accio-Politics, is at Accio-Politics on everything, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and should go check us out.
Yes,
yeah, definitely follow. Should.
Yes, because, friends, this is part one of a two-part series, and part two will be on some date in the future on Accio-Politics. So make sure that you go, you like and subscribe to their podcast. Are you on all platforms, I think?
Yes.
Yes, so wherever you love to listen to podcasts, go find them, like and subscribe, and the rest of our conversation is going to be on theirs.
And we'll post about it too, so you won't miss it.
Yes. But honestly, thank you so much for coming on and for joining us. I had fun.
I feel like you two fit in the Swish fam real nice.
Yeah. It felt very easy, you know, when you meet someone and you just like feel it.
Yeah. Well, thank you guys.
Mr. Krabs.
Thank you so much for having us. Honestly, I mentioned it, but I don't know if I've ever said to you guys that your podcast was actually the very first podcast that I ever listened to. You were my very first introduction to podcasts. It was 2017, and I was just like, you know, I've heard podcasts are cool. Like, it'd be nice to listen to something other than music on my commute to work. And I was like, I like Harry Potter. Let's see what's out there. You guys were like the first one that popped up. I was like, oh, four ladies? That's cool. I'll listen to it. And I mean, here I am hosting.
And now you're part of podcast.
Two Lady Podcast.
That's awesome.
That's so awesome.
So thank you.
That's really cool.
You guys definitely were formative in my podcast career. And I've been listening to you guys for forever. Love you. You guys are great.
Thanks so much. Thank
you.
That means a lot. That really does.
Yeah, for real. You're, but that 2017, that's the beginning. So that's even cooler.
Yeah. That's the very beginning. Those were some rough first days.
As are any first days on podcasting, and you're like, I figure I could do this, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Figure
it out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness. All right. Well, that concludes this week's episode. Thank you so much for listening, and don't let the muggles get you down.
Amazing! Just in my voice!
All right, here we go.
He's my best friend.
We did it!
Yay!
Thank you.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.